which is... Sorry. Is it okay now? Sorry. Okay. Well, the Secretariat has already ably explained the procedures that we have in the WTO, in the SPS committee. Just to remind delegates here, the most relevant parts that we would find in the SPS agreement regarding this issue is first and foremost Article 3, which in general terms strongly encourages the use of international standards. Then we have Article 12, which relates to the administration of the agreement, and there especially Articles 12.1, 12.2, 4, and 6 are most relevant in this regard. 12.4 calls on the committee to develop a procedure to monitor the use or non-use of international standards, and the committee has indeed developed a procedure, and so far a number of issues have already been discussed under this agenda item in the SPS committee, and indeed this specific issue of use of either non-use of MRLs established at the international level or deviation from them has been just raised last week in the SPS committee, both under the agenda item on monitoring the use of international standards and as a specific trade concern by Argentina. And a number of other delegations have made statements on this issue. However, the relevant documentation came in a bit late, so there was already only some preliminary discussions, and I think that this issue will be picked up again under the agenda item on monitoring the use of international standards at the upcoming meeting of the SPS committee, which will be taking place in October. Thank you.
Thank you, the representative from WTO, for confirming the fact that this issue can be raised at the WTO SPS committee and for drawing the attention of the Commission to the relevant articles in the SPS agreement. Another issue which is closely related to this item, I note, is the lack of capacity to generate scientific data by developing countries, especially with regards to pesticide residues. And recall, this has been deliberated in the 59th session of the Executive Committee. And in this respect, I would like to draw your attention to paragraph 80 of the report, which pointed out that these concerns might best be addressed outside Codex, for instance, through international FAO WHO workshop on pesticides residue. This issue is also addressed in Activity 1.7 of Goal 1 of the Codex Strategic Plan that is encouraging FAO and WHO to expand capacity-building programs, including technical assistance to countries to generate data, to promote application of use of Codex standards and related texts at the national and regional level. And also, you may recall that yesterday, this issue was also discussed further on Agenda Item 11 on strategic planning, where it was felt that this issue needs to be looked in a broader context in a more holistic manner, and that on this item, the Commission has noted and acknowledged the work of CCPR and GMPR and the way they have expedited their work over the last several years, and that CCPR and GMPR to continue to take into account the needs of developing countries in the work. The Commission has requested FAO and WHO to organize tailored-made action-oriented workshop involving all relevant stakeholders with a view to better undertake the process of CCPR and GMPR, to better understand the concerns of developing countries, and to elevate or mitigate the concerns of developing countries. And we have heard for ourselves from FAO that FAO and WHO have done substantial work in this area and will do their very best to organize the international conference or workshop to respond to the needs of member countries subject to available resources. So, distinguished delegates, based on the clarification provided by the Secretariat and the WTO regarding this enforcement of Codex MRLs at the national level, I would like to propose that the Commission notes these concerns and considered it appropriate to raise this issue relating to acceptance of codex standards either at the FAO WHO regional coordinating committees or the WTO SPS committee. So is there any agreement to the proposals that I put forward as a conclusion on this subject matter? Okay, no flag up. Chile, you have the floor.
Gracias, señora presidenta. Nos parecieron bastante clarificadoras las tres posiciones, la verdad, tanto de la OMC como la Secretaría y la suya, en específico. Sin embargo, tenemos la gran preocupación de que las normas que se generan aquí en el Códex puedan ser aplicadas por los países. Y en caso contrario, como son miembros de acá, que acá entreguen la evidencia científica para modificar los límites de tolerancia, cuando no sean lo suficientemente estrictos para los niveles, cumplir con los niveles adecuados de protección de la salud pública. En ese sentido, pedimos una mayor participación interna y alimentar a las organizaciones que hacen la evaluación de riesgo dentro del COEX. Gracias, señora presidenta.
Thank you, Chile, for that observation. Morocco, please.
Merci, Madame la Présidente. Permettez-moi d'intervenir sur cette question parce qu'elle est extrêmement importante pour nous. Je voudrais rapporter un peu les préoccupations des pays de la région d'Afrique. Cette question, nous l'avons examinée lors de notre 17e session du comité à Rabat au Maroc. Et beaucoup de délégués ont effectivement soulevé le problème qui est posé par le fait que les pays en développement s'efforcent de transposer les LMR du Codex dans leur réglementation nationale et toutes les mesures qui s'en suivent, c'est-à-dire que toutes les filières s'organisent pour que ces normes soient respectées pour les produits exportés. Et puis on est surpris par les mesures qui sont prises par les pays destinataires. Et il faut le dire, les pays dits développés qui refusent des marchandises parce que ces produits ne sont pas conformes à des limites qui sont plus strictes que les normes du Codex. Nous savons par ailleurs que dans l'accord SPS que les LMR du Codex sont considérés ou les normes du Codex sont considérées ou prévalent dans les échanges internationaux. Alors on ne comprend pas ce dilemme. D'une manière, les pays s'efforcent d'appliquer les normes du Codex et d'autre part, ils ne peuvent pas exporter leurs produits. Bon, aujourd'hui, on veut renvoyer la question encore à l'examen au niveau du comité de coordination de l'OMC, mais la question est encore confuse, on ne comprend pas quelle va être l'issue de ces questions. Est-ce qu'il faut continuer perpétuellement à examiner cette question? Il faudrait qu'on clarifie les choses vis-à-vis des pays en développement qui, pour eux, les LMR du Codex sont vraiment les normes de référence. Les pays qui prennent des limites plus strictes, l'accord dit qu'ils doivent justifier scientifiquement pourquoi ils ont pris des normes plus strictes. Et nous savons que les pays en développement peuvent suivre les procédures de l'OMC, mais c'est toujours difficile de faire des requêtes et d'aller devant les panels de l'OMC pour s'opposer à des décisions de refoulement de marchandises. Tout ça n'est pas clair, Madame la Présidente. On souhaite que cette question soit encore examinée au niveau de notre commission pour qu'on puisse voir plus clair. Merci, Madame la Présidente.
Thank you, Morocco, for the observation. I take it as no objection to the proposal I put forward, so we will accept those proposals.
Brazil is not accepting.
the Secretariat has drawn to my attention that Dr. Vallée will be leaving soon, and we need to conclude on this item. But before that, I'd like to give the floor to two more delegates. Is that Brazil who wants the floor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, on this important subject, I would like firstly to stress that Brazil understands that countries are free to establish MRLs at the national level based on their own good agricultural practices. At the same time, of course, we confer the utmost importance to Codex Alimentarius and to the standards agreed in the Codex Alimentarius based on scientifically developed methodologies, which should be recognized and implemented. We have presented a conference room paper during the last Codex Committee on Pesticide Residues with our position on this issue there. I would like to recall the attention to CRD 27, where our comments are. Having said that, Madam Chairperson, if I understood correctly, you are suggesting that the Commission would refer the matter to the coordinating committees, so to the regions, and also to the WTO SPS. That seems fine with us, but we would like also to suggest that the matter could be referred again to the CCPR. We understand that's a very, very important forum to discuss this issue. That's a crucial discussion for the CCPR. So we would suggest that besides the two, the coordinating committees and the WTO-SPS, also the CCPR could be included in this discussion. Thank you very much, Madam Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Brazil. Of course, this matter can be raised by member countries in CCPR. Indonesia, you wish to take the floor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Indonesia, I'm not oppose your proposal, Madam Chair, but we would like to throw some our opinion about this matter. We believe that seminar, workshop, or training conducted by the FAO or WHO is very important for developing country. But I think the next problem is how the developing country get make some monitoring to have the data, because I think developing country, most of developing country have not enough budget to monitor that the residue of the pesticide. So I would like to suggest to the Codex Commission to think about this, and maybe developed country can help developing country to do some work on the monitoring of the pesticide. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Indonesia, thank you for that intervention. Just to clarify that it is FAO and WHO who will be providing technical assistance to countries in this area. And I just mentioned just now, reaffirming the decision of the Commission that on especially on this issue regards to strategic plan, that we note that FAO and WHO will organize an international conference of workshop to respond to the needs of the developing countries and ensure that this will be the best avenue for us to discuss this matter further. Thank you. So with that, I take it the Commission notes this concern and considered it appropriate to raise these matters relating to acceptance of Codex standards either at the FAO regional coordinating committees or the WTO SPS committee, and we note of course the observations of member countries. Thank you. Okay, we just take one more part two, matters for information to the Commission, and we'll take this en bloc. Secretary, please take us through. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. As you just mentioned, these are items for information or address those items that have been already covered by the previous items during this week. I would just draw the attention to the very last paragraph coming from the Pesticide Review Committee, that the committee had agreed that the list of methods for determination of pesticides would not be developed as a codex document in the step procedure, meaning for inclusion in the Codex Alimentarius, but would stay a repository list, and it will be accessible on the IAEA website. And the Secretariat notes that this decision parallels the decision of the Commission last year that the compendium of methods of analysis for the residues of veterinary drugs will not be part of the Codex Alimentarius, but remain a list that offer guidance to member countries, and the list will remain accessible. Thank you.
Thank you. We will move on to agenda item 14. I'm sorry, I didn't see you. FAO, you wish the floor?
Thank you, Madam Chair. It's still on matters for information for the Commission. I just would like to provide the Commission if information on the request that was made to FAO and WHO to convene an expert consultation on health risks associated with methylmercury and dioxin-like PCBs in fish and fish products. And FAO and WHO have been looking into this matter because of its complexity and also of the impact that it may have also on other risk assessments that are conducted in the frame of the provision of scientific advice by FAO and WHO. And with your permission, Madam Chair, I would like to give the floor to the director of our Fish Industry and Utilization Division to give a very short brief on what we have done so far and what is planned in the future. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair. FAO WHO have discussed the charts at length and took the opportunity to consult with a small group of experts to consider the issues. The experts noted that a large number of national studies and assessments were already available. However, none of these have fully quantified the risks and more particularly the benefits of fish consumption as requested by the Codex Alimentarius Commission. In offering their consolidated advice to FAO-WHO, the expert group observed that this would be a long, complex, and costly task. Although a quantitative risk-benefit approach may be possible, but costly, at a national level, its value will be affected by the built-in uncertainties. The additional complexities at an international level probably make the task unrealistic. However, the experts suggested that the development of a quantitative risk-benefit assessment method warrants further investigation, but flexibility would be required. In regard to methylmercury, it may be preferable to proceed in a tiered manner, using first a qualitative approach, followed by a semi-quantitative approach, and finally a fully quantitative approach. The fully quantitative approach should only be undertaken when the other approaches do not adequately answer the risk manager's questions and where sufficient data are available. As a next step in addressing risk-benefit assessment of fish consumption, FAO-WHO will consider convening an expert consultation on approaches to the risk-benefit assessment of fish consumption. The first phase should be specifically related to the impact of methylmercury exposure on women of childbearing age and the future development of their children with respect to neural and cardiovascular development, as well as the benefits of fish and its components on these endpoints. The confounding effects, if any, of dioxin and dioxin-like PCBs should also be considered, as dioxin intake is highly correlated with the intake of fatty fish, which are also significant sources of the beneficial omega-3 fatty acids. Thank you very much.
Thank you, FAO, for enriching us with that additional information. I know that members will have an opportunity to raise whatever concerns that you may have in this agenda item 16, other matters arising from FAO and WHO. Thank you. We'll go on to agenda item 14, relations between the Codex Alimentarius Commission and other international organizations, LENOM 07/30/9E, and we will take one item at a time. First, relations between Codex International relations between the Codex Alimentarius Commission and other international intergovernmental organizations. And we will take first the relations between Codex and the World Organization for Animal Health, or OIE. I would like to invite the Secretary to introduce this item.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The relevant documents the delegates may wish to prepare on table is, of course, the main working document, 9E, relations between the Codex Alimentarius Commission and other international organizations. And secondly, the INF document, number 4, which is available in English, French, and Spanish, which is the written submission from OIE, and the Secretariat simply gave it a format and reproduced for the attention of the delegates. In terms of the cooperation between Codex and OIE, there has been a discussion not only at the level of the Commission but also at the level of the Committee on General Principles, and one such discussion led to the elaboration and finalization of an important document which is now part of the procedural manual, the guidelines on cooperation between the Codex Alimentarius Commission and international intergovernmental organizations in the elaboration of standards and related texts. Although this document was developed using the language of general nature, in the mind of the delegations and the Codex, there was also the OIE, and inconsistency with this document, the Commission, at its 28th session, adopted certain recommendations that are set out in paragraph 2 of the main document. Number 1, OIE be encouraged to continue to participate actively in the standard-setting work of the Commission, namely through the work of relevant subsidiary bodies of the Commission. And secondly, the OIE be invited to regularly submit to relevant Codex subsidiary bodies reports on its activities relevant to the work of these subsidiary bodies, while these subsidiary bodies continue to seek ways to improve cooperation with OIE in their respective areas' work and inform the Executive Committee of their decisions, recommendations accordingly. And finally, the OIE be invited to submit a summary report to the regular session of the Commission on its activities of relevance to the work of the Commission, including the outcome of the OIE working group on animal production food safety. Because of this last decision, the INF document 4 was distributed to the current session of the Commission. The same session of the Commission also noted the recommendation of the Executive Committee that effectiveness of cooperative arrangements being made between Codex and OIE in accordance with the four recommendations should be reviewed by the 30th session, the current session of the Commission, with a view to considering whether further arrangements would be necessary or desirable in addition to these three bullet points contained in the preceding paragraph, including those provisions mentioned in paragraph 13 of the guidelines in the procedure manual to which I drew your attention. Therefore, the Commission, by the end of discussion on this particular item, is invited to consider if further arrangement is necessary or indeed desirable, including the conclusion of an appropriate arrangement between the Directors General of FAO and WHO and the Director General of OIE. At this point of time, Madam Chair, you may wish to recognize Dr. Bernard Valla, Director General of the World Organization for Animal Health. Thank you.
Thank you, Secretary, for the introduction. I now would like to invite Dr. Bernard Valla, Director General of the OIE, to introduce the document INF4 and highlight the main points. Dr. Valla, the floor is yours, sir.
Merci, Madame la Présidente de séance. Monsieur le Secrétaire, Mesdames et Messieurs les délégués, Mesdames et Messieurs les représentants des organisations internationales, honorables participants. Je voudrais d'abord remercier la FAO et l'OMS et le secrétariat d'avoir bien voulu m'inviter et de me donner la possibilité de m'exprimer brièvement devant vous au nom de l'Organisation mondiale de la santé animale et de l'ensemble de ses pays et territoires membres. Je voudrais aussi, au nom de l'OIE et en mon nom personnel, féliciter le président, le docteur Claude Mocha, et les vice-présidents, le docteur Karine Ulbach, madame Noraini Othman et le docteur Wim Vanek, pour l'excellent travail accompli jusqu'ici. Nous sommes sûrs que tous les membres de la commission du Codex partagent notre perception positive de cette collaboration. J'aimerais, comme le secrétaire l'a fait, vous signaler l'existence du document récapitulatif préparé par l'OIE pour illustrer tous les résultats positifs qui découlent de la coopération entre le Codex Alimentarius et l'OIE. Et il vous a été distribué sous le libellé CAC-30 INF-4, comme l'a indiqué le secrétaire. Afin de renforcer encore notre coopération, je propose aujourd'hui aux délégués de se pencher particulièrement sur deux points. Premièrement, comment formaliser plus officiellement cette coopération? Et deuxièmement, la possibilité d'organiser en concertation une conférence internationale qui traiterait des normes OIE et Codex sur la traçabilité des animaux et de leurs produits et de leur application par nos pays membres. Concernant le premier point, durant la 55e session du comité exécutif du Codex, il y a 3 ans, je crois, il a été recommandé que lors de la présente session de la commission du Codex Alimentarius, en 2007, une évaluation sur l'efficacité des modalités de coopération entre nos deux organisations sœurs soit effectuée. Je soutiens toujours fortement cette recommandation du Codex, car ces dernières années, notre coopération a été intense et fructueuse. Et il est maintenant temps de regarder un peu en arrière pour faire un bilan. Nous demeurons à la disposition du secrétariat de la Commission pour discuter des modalités pratiques de cette évaluation. De plus, en s'accordant sans réserve sur l'importance de la maîtrise coordonnée des risques sanitaires tout au long du continuum de la chaîne alimentaire, allant de l'étable à la table, la Commission du Codex Alimentarius et l'OIE s'efforcent depuis 2001 de mettre en place ensemble une collaboration solide et continue pour concevoir des normes internationales harmonisées couvrant toute la chaîne alimentaire. À cet effet, je me suis assuré que l'OIE apporte son appui au Codex, notamment en 2006-2007, dans les domaines suivants. Premièrement, aux travaux du CCFIX, notamment ceux relatifs à la révision de la directive Codex pour une présentation générique des certificats officiels ainsi que les conditions de leur établissement et de leur délivrance. Comme le Codex, notre but est d'améliorer la fiabilité des certificats sanitaires sans apporter des complications administratives aux services officiels qui en sont chargés. Deuxièmement, appui aux travaux du groupe spécial intergouvernemental du Codex sur les aliments dérivés des biotechnologies, le Codex restant responsable de la sécurité sanitaire des aliments issus d'OGM ou d'animaux clonés. Troisièmement, appui aux travaux du comité du Codex sur l'hygiène alimentaire pour présenter l'état d'avancement de ces travaux sur la salmonellose. Et enfin, appui aux travaux du comité du Codex sur les principes généraux afin de renforcer les modalités de notre coopération. En même temps, j'ai invité des représentants du secrétariat du Codex et des experts participant à certains comités du Codex à participer aux réunions de l'OIE sur la sécurité sanitaire des aliments d'origine animale pendant leur phase de production, les groupes ad hoc sur l'identification et la traçabilité des animaux, les groupes chargés de la révision des modèles de certificats sanitaires de l'OIE, le groupe sur l'alimentation animale, sur l'antibiorésistance, et enfin groupe sur la biotechnologie. Les échanges d'informations et les référencements croisés déjà adoptés entre les normes internationales de nos deux organisations démontrent la grande utilité de cette synergie. Les textes publiés par les deux organisations sur l'inspection des viandes, comme sur l'identification et la traçabilité des animaux et des produits d'origine animale, constituent aussi de très bons exemples. L'antibiorésistance est un domaine de coopération particulièrement important. Lors de sa 29e session, la commission du Codex a étudié la possibilité de développer des normes communes avec l'OIE, mais a finalement préféré créer un groupe ad hoc intergouvernemental sur l'antibiorésistance, en laissant la possibilité à l'OIE d'y participer en tant que simple observateur. Cette décision n'est pas satisfaisante pour l'OIE, et nous considérons qu'elle est largement liée à l'absence de base légale dans les textes fondamentaux du Codex, afin d'élaborer des normes communes avec l'OIE. L'OIE désire à cet effet se projeter dans l'avenir et résoudre ces difficultés, et considère que la création d'une base légale formelle de collaboration avec la commission du Codex sous la forme d'un accord officiel présente un intérêt considérable pour permettre l'élaboration d'un certain nombre de normes internationales communes attendues par les pays membres et les consommateurs. Ainsi, l'OIE suggère aux délégués du Codex de recommander que la FAO et l'OMS chargent leur service juridique d'étudier l'actualisation des accords avec l'OIE afin d'ouvrir la voie à la formalisation de la coopération entre l'OIE et la commission du Codex sur une base plus solide. Cette formalisation de nos relations constituerait une étape essentielle du renforcement de notre coopération et nous considérons qu'elle est essentielle pour la crédibilité de l'accord SPS de l'Organisation mondiale du commerce. Je propose par ailleurs que les priorités de notre coopération concernent les domaines suivants, et essentiellement deux domaines. Premièrement, la mise à jour des normes sur les modalités de certification des produits d'origine animale, et deuxièmement, le travail en commun sur la salmonellose et la campylobactériose. L'OIE a déjà produit un projet de chapitre sur les mesures applicables au niveau de la production, ciblées sur les poules pondeuses, pour contrôler les risques pour la santé publique associés à Salmonella enteritidis et Salmonella typhimurium. Nous allons également traiter le contrôle de la salmonellose et de la campylobactériose dans les élevages de poulets de chair. Nous considérons que les normes relatives au statut sanitaire des élevages de volailles, découlant de l'application de lignes directrices harmonisées pour la surveillance bactériologique des élevages, ainsi que les méthodes de contrôle des salmonelles et campylobactères chez les volailles à la ferme, je dis bien à la ferme, doivent être préparées par l'OIE en utilisant le groupe de travail de l'OIE sur la sécurité sanitaire des aliments en phase de production, auquel participent les représentants de l'OMS, de la FAO et du secrétariat de la commission du Codex. Pour conclure sur ce premier point, je voudrais souligner que nous considérons qu'il est du devoir de l'OIE et de la commission du Codex de continuer à renforcer notre travail de coordination, notamment pour ne pas porter préjudice à la crédibilité de l'accord SPS de l'OMC. Et enfin, sur le deuxième point de nos priorités de coopération, je voudrais informer cette assemblée que l'OIE a l'intention d'organiser en 2009 une conférence internationale qui aurait pour thème l'identification et la traçabilité des animaux d'élevage et de leurs produits, y compris le pont entre l'animal vivant et le produit qui en découle. L'objectif de cette conférence est de sensibiliser tous les acteurs concernés aux politiques de l'identification des animaux et de la traçabilité des produits, qui sont des outils d'aide essentiels à la maîtrise des dangers véhiculés par les maladies des animaux pouvant menacer la sécurité sanitaire des denrées alimentaires, tout en envisageant, grâce à cette conférence, en envisageant ensemble comment aider les pays qui le souhaiteraient à mettre en place de tels systèmes, notamment les pays en développement. Et il serait utile que cette conférence prenne pour base l'existant normatif en partant des normes internationales déjà élaborées par le Codex et par l'OIE. J'encourage donc les délégués à suggérer à la FAO et à l'OMS de se rapprocher de l'OIE pour organiser cette conférence qui aurait pour titre « Mise en œuvre des normes Codex OIE pour l'identification et la traçabilité des animaux d'élevage et de leurs produits dérivés ». Et à cet effet, nous sommes actuellement en discussion avec le gouvernement argentin pour organiser cette conférence à Buenos Aires. Monsieur le Président, Madame la Présidente de séance, Mesdames, Messieurs les membres des délégations, je vous remercie à nouveau de m'avoir donné la parole et vous exprime la détermination de notre organisation à poursuivre et renforcer notre collaboration avec la commission du commerce du Codex Alimentarius. Je vous souhaite une fructueuse 30e session. Merci.
Thank you, Dr. Vallée. I note that there are two points requested by OIE. First, to look into the possibility to facilitate establishment of a formal agreement between OIE and the Codex Alimentarius Commission. And the second request is for Codex to host an international conference on traceability in 2009. We'll take one issue at a time. And I note that we cannot conclude this discussion before lunch. And I'd like to give the floor to the FAO Legal Counsel to clarify certain points of legal nature with regards to the first point. And then I'll give the floor to the Secretariat to make housekeeping arrangements before we go off for lunch. The FAO Legal Counsel, you have the floor. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam. I thank you for having given me the floor. I have to make an intervention limited to a specific point of the statement made by the Director General of OIE and concerning also a specific passage of the document INF 4 Revised 1, which is a document prepared by OIE. This document, and as well as the statement by the Director General of OIE, indicate that OIE considers that it is now appropriate to formalize the relationship with the Codex Alimentarius Commission to further strengthen the legal basis for the production of international standards, including the development of joint OIE Codex standards where appropriate. The OIE asks or recommends to Codex Alimentarius Commission delegates to recommend to FAO that FAO and WHO update their existing agreements with OIE to facilitate the establishment of a formal agreement between OIE and the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Madam, from a legal point of view, the Codex Alimentarius Commission, as you have noted, I'm sure, enjoys substantial functional autonomy, but is a statutory body of FAO and WHO, is a statutory body internal to the parent organizations. And this, as you will have noted, despite its importance and its functional autonomy, so the Codex Commission remains part of the parent organizations. For this reason, the Codex Alimentarius Commission has no legal personality. It acts through the parent organizations FAO and WHO, with particular reference to FAO in accordance with its statutes. The Codex Alimentarius Commission, Madam, has no legal capacity to conclude agreements and to be in its own right directly a party to an agreement or any contractual arrangement. Should there be a need for any specific agreement, it would have to be concluded between FAO and WHO on the one hand and OIE on the other hand concerning the Codex Alimentarius Commission. Then it is also important to emphasize that OIE is currently a party to agreements with both FAO and WHO. These are broad framework agreements. They provide, therefore, a framework under which a wide range of activities may be carried out and under which cooperation activities with the Codex Alimentarius Commission can be accommodated without a need for any specific agreement. I note, Madam, and I'm sure that all delegates have noted the same, that the absence of an agreement has not precluded, has not prevented the development of very fruitful cooperation, which we should welcome. So, Madam, this is a statement that I wish to make, and it reflects the joint views of the legal office of FAO and WHO on this particular issue. Thank you.
Thank you, FAO Legal Counsel, for that clarification. I'd now like to give the floor to the Secretary for Housekeeping Arrangements.
Just, you said that you wanted to say something about your funding payment.
Now it's up to them.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The nomination for the members elected on a geographic basis to the Executive Committee was closed some 20 minutes ago, and I have in my hands several nomination forms, and let me announce the names of candidates by geographic location, by location. First, for the real geographic location, Africa, I have only one nomination for this region. The nominee is Mali, and this country being the only candidate for the office for the member elected from Africa, the Commission may wish to confirm its election by acclamation. The next geographic location is Asia. Again, I have only one nomination. the candidate being Japan. Likewise, the Commission may wish to confirm its election by acclamation. The next geographic location is Europe. I have only one nomination, the nominee being United Kingdom. Thank you for confirmation. The next geographic location is Latin America and the Caribbean. Again, the nomination is just one. The nominee is Argentina. The next geographic location is Near East. Only one nomination has been received. The nominated country is Jordan. The next geographic location is North America. The nominated country is Canada. Finally, Madam Chair, I have again one single nomination for the member from the Southwest Pacific. The nominee is New Zealand. Madam Chair, at this point of time, the Secretariat wishes to inform that the Commission has completed all of its business under the agenda item regarding the elections of the members of the Executive Committee. And there will be no votes taken on this regard this evening. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Secretary. I'd like to take this opportunity to congratulate all the representatives selected on a geographical basis that has been elected. And, of course, it is the challenge for them to also participate actively in the work of CCXEC. As we know, there's a lot of challenges ahead of us. And with that, I'd like to thank all of you, and we will resume our discussion in the afternoon at 2:30. Thank you.